This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Electromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts about some of the IT trends and challenges facing agencies and industry. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio today, we have Mike Olson. He's a board chairman and chief strategy officer for a company called Cloudera, C-L-O-U-D-E-R-A. He was in the studio a couple years ago, and Cloudera really wasn't as talked about as much as it is today, but boy, you know, you pick up InfoWorld, you listen to podcasts, and it seems to be a theme that's popping up all over the place. It's Cloudera, and brought Mike in the studio today, talk about Cloudera, and see where it fits in for my listeners, the federal IT professionals. But before we begin, my listeners always scratch their head and they go, what's this guy's background? Mike, tell us about your background, how you wound up with Cloudera, please.
Well, thanks a lot, John. I am a technologist from way back. I built my career in the database industry, so working for companies like Informix and Oracle. And with three other guys decided 6 years ago to found this new company, a company aimed at making big data easier for traditional enterprises, traditional organizations to deal with. Capture, store, manage, analyze, understand data in ways that were previously impossible.
So I always talk about problems and solutions. So 6-7 years ago, the problem was there were three or four people working at different organizations. They ran into a brick wall. And they left the organizations and they said, no, here, we'll solve the problem ourselves. Because is this the Cloudera story in a nutshell?
Yeah, you know, that's really it. Let me back up and give your listeners just a little bit of context. So in the early 2000s, Google, the internet search engine, was ingesting the entire internet every couple of weeks. They would suck it all in. They would then organize, parse, analyze, index it, and deliver search services to the market. And it turned out there was no commercial product they could build that would make that possible. They had to invent their own technology to make that happen. Not just, by the way, to index the internet, but when people visit the website, when people run a search, and then click, say, the third answer in the list rather than one or two, they've actually told Google something very important about its search results. They've said that third item is more interesting to them than the first two. And Google wanted to build a system that would let it automatically register that feedback and tune up its algorithms. So Google built, in the early 2000s, a couple of new technologies, something called the Google File Systems, great big storage system, an engine called MapReduce for analyzing that data, and used it to organize, parse, index, and deliver those search services to watch users' behavior and to tune the results based on that behavior, and then was, of course, hugely successful. They described that technology in some academic papers, and that was the foundation for this new open source project, a project called Hadoop. But it was based on Google's work, and it made that technology generally available. We believed in 2008, my three colleagues and I, one each, by the way, from Google, Facebook, Yahoo, and then me, the outlier, the guy from Oracle. We all believed that big data problems were going to come to traditional enterprises. You didn't have to be Google to need these techniques. And that was the inspiration for the business.
That's a good place to start, I think, with MapReduce. So MapReduce is not Hadoop. And Hadoop is an open source software. I guess when I'm trying to come up with parallels and maybe similes, and I throw this out. If you look at Linux, most of my listeners know what Linux is, and they know what Red Hat is. And maybe Hadoop is similar to Linux, and Cloudera manipulates Hadoop the same way. Is that a good parallel for my listeners?
Yeah, I think it's a good parallel. You know, we have enormous respect at Cloudera for the job that Jim Whitehurst and the team at Red Hat have done. And I think there are some real striking parallels between the technology Linux and the business Red Hat, and then the technology Hadoop and the business Cloudera. But if you're looking for an example of another open source project that I think is really comparable to what Hadoop has done, I would point actually to the Mosaic web browser, a piece of technology invented by Mark Andreessen at University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign, way back in the early 90s.
I remember.
At the time, the web had not yet happened. There was no commercial offering that let you browse the internet. So
it was all text-based, I remember.
No, that's right. And Mark, building on work that had been done by Sir Tim, well, then just Tim Berners-Lee, not yet Sir Tim Berners-Lee, but building on work done to create the World Wide Web by Tim Berners-Lee and a group at CERN in Switzerland, Mark built a web browser that was unlike anything that had ever come before. There was no commercial product that the Mosaic web browser was chasing. Likewise, the technology in Hadoop, scale-out storage, this MapReduce engine, other open source projects, Yarn and Uzi and Impala, and I'm glad to talk about lots of that stuff, but these are genuinely new. They're not aimed at existing commercial products. They ingest, they analyze, they process data in really fundamental new ways. And it's fundamentally new because the amount of data available in the world today, absolutely exploding. You know, we can talk over the course of our time together about Internet of Things and smart grid and huge new sources of diagnostic information in medicine and so on. But data volumes are exploding. And it really took Google's ideas rendered into this open source project composed of all these components, but this Hadoop project to make that possible. And I would argue that what the web has done for the economy, for governance, for the way that we deal with one another, deal with institutions, big data offers a similar disjunctive, big step up opportunity. And Hadoop, the platform, is fundamentally the way these days that people are capturing and working with data at scale.
So I can go out on the internet and grab a distribution of Linux and pop it on a machine. We know that. Now, in order to use it more efficiently, I may want to use the services of Red Hat, or I can hire people to do it. Now, if I wanted to use Hadoop, I imagine I could download it and manage it myself, or I could use the services of Cloudera, which would train me and maybe give some utilities and put it in perspective. Is that where you fit in for my listeners?
Yeah, exactly right. So look, you can go to the Apache Software Foundation, go to the website, you can download a package of Hadoop, and then you can configure it and install it and build it. And you can go get all of the surrounding pieces for scheduling jobs and user interface and download those and install them as well. It's a lot easier, we believe, to grab a prepackaged distribution. And, you know, even Red Hat makes that possible. You can go grab a prepackaged free version of their open source distro from their website as well. So we do the same thing. But as a business, we deliver that platform, plus tooling for operations, security, governance, data lineage, making sure that you can deploy and operate the system reliably, backed with 24/7 support, backed with training, consulting services, and a huge partner ecosystem for delivering real business value on top of the platform, for attacking your data in new ways.
I read a phrase at your website this morning, Mongo, M-O-N-G-O-D-B. So what's MongoDB, what's Oracle, and how does Cloudera work with this MongoDB?
Well, so as I said, we've got a huge partner network. Oracle is one of our resellers. You can go to Oracle and get something called the Big Data Appliance that bundles Cloudera's Hadoop-based enterprise data hub on the platform. MongoDB, another of our partners, delivers a very easy-to-use, scale-out, what's called NoSQL engine, a simple way to store and retrieve data on demand at pretty substantial scale and a very, very high speed. And a lot of our customers across industry, even in government, use the Mongo technology right alongside Cloudera for different purposes, but need them to cooperate, want to be able to share data between them. And our job as a vendor, as Cloudera, is to make sure that we integrate well with MongoDB, which, by the way, is backed by another company commercializing that technology, that company named after the product MongoDB.
And it's a NoSQL database, is that right?
That's exactly right.
So are NoSQL databases happy or more comfortable with unstructured data, or is it just happen to be a good product?
You know, a lot of the NoSQL databases are aimed at what you might think of as documents. They store fairly structured textual information pretty well. That's one of the places they've been very, very successful. Cloudera delivers Hadoop, and Hadoop is happy to store tabular data, the kind of stuff you would stick in a SQL database. It's happy to store those documents. It's happy to store very complex, say, sensor or nested or new kinds of data. What's most interesting is it lets you combine all those data types in one place for really interesting analysis and processing workloads. So while Mongo is excellent at serving data very quickly, the Cloudera platform based on Hadoop, our enterprise data hub, is really good at processing, analyzing, examining that data.
It's almost like an automobile framework. You have the framework there and you plug in whatever you need, better tires, better suspension, better motor, whatever you have to achieve your objective. Could be speed, could be turning, could be a best gas mileage. Let's take a break. When we come back, let's talk about how Cloudera can be applied for my listeners, federal IT professionals. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio today, Mike Olson, Board Chairman and Chief Strategy Officer for Cloudera. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio today, we have Mike Olson, Board Chairman and Chief Strategy Officer for a company called Cloudera. If you haven't heard about it before, you will. Cloudera. And the phrase that pays is Hadoop and big data and framework and managing big data. And, you know, many of my listeners, Mike, are federal IT professionals. They go to work at 9 o'clock in the morning. They get frustrated. They want to jump out the basement window. And one of the frustrations is managing data. And sometimes they hear about, oh, Cloudera, And they go to your site and they read the white papers and they see the interviews and they get all kinds of great information. But they scratch their heads and they go, well, what kind of other federal agencies are using this? And it may come as a surprise to some listeners that 100% of the top five intelligence agencies use Cloudera. That's a pretty good endorsement, I'd say.
Well, we're very proud of our user base broadly. And, you know, what's really driving adoption, not just in the IC, but broadly across government, is we've got way more data from way more places. Citizens want to interact with government services online, and just those interactions wind up generating a lot of data, you know, how users behave. In addition, under the current administration, and particularly under the great leadership of Todd Park and the technology team of the White House these days, there's a very effective open data initiative. And I know that was kicked off by Vivek Kundra, but I think the current team is doing a fantastic job. So the idea there is more data needs to be made available because citizens will be smarter about government. Democracy will work better if we make data available. And we see that happening across a bunch of the agencies that we work with, not just IC, but broadly across the civilian agencies as well.
In fact, during the break, you talked about the National Cancer Institute. Where's their big data? Well, there's big data in bioinformatics. And so if you have this big data, you have to have a tool to analyze it.
Yeah, no, we are really excited about this workload. And actually, you know, let me take a step back. Let me say that while the political process of getting the Affordable Care Act passed was wrenching, and people feel very, very strongly on both sides of the political divide, what that piece of legislation has done is created an opportunity for us to tune up healthcare, to try to deliver better patient outcomes at lower cost. And no matter where you live on the political spectrum, you care about that. So data about patients, data about care is now available, can be analyzed. We can have hospitals understand how doctors succeed in delivering good care to patients and can look for good outcomes and then recommend to other doctors they behave the same way. In the case of the National Cancer Institute in particular, look, genomic data available from new current generation sequencing machines used to understand the onset, the progress of chronic disease, cancer, for example, is a really powerful tool. Cancer is not a simple disease. There's no single gene that causes any particular cancer, at least as far as we know. In general, it's a number of different genomic forces, genes that interact. There is almost always some environmental influence as well. And the progress of the disease is complicated. The NCI would like to capture that data, observe the progress of that disease, notice what treatments are effective for what kinds of patients, and begin to prescribe really personalized medicine, the best possible care for you, given your genome, given the progress of the disease that you have. And that kind of diagnostic and treatment information, we think, is going to make a huge difference in quality of life.
My listeners are familiar with acronyms, HHS, EOP, Executive Office of the President. There's an acronym associated with your company. It's called EDH, which stands for Enterprise Data Hub. So tell listeners what exactly an EDH is and what it means to them.
Well, you know, this is a concept that we came up with after we watched what people were doing with this Hadoop-based technology in the wild. So the idea is, used to be you had to keep special kinds of data separate. Documents lived in a different place than tables did. And that's because there were special purpose software systems that managed those. It turns out that this Google idea, this Hadoop-based software, can store any kind of data. It's very, very forgiving, very, very accommodating. We've seen our customers now begin to land not just this sort of complex genomic data that I was talking about a minute ago, but in addition, large amounts of tabular data, right? Transaction histories or patient data, large amounts of complex document data, say medical research germane to the problem of attacking cancer. If you can put all that data in one place, you can begin to analyze it together to build new kinds of applications. That very forgiving system lets you store anything at all, creates what we call an enterprise data hub. It connects to the existing systems you've got. Mentioned MongoDB, I think, in the previous segment. That is an external system that we want to connect to. Likewise, Oracle, likewise, your data warehouse, and so on. But one big repository that connects nicely to these other systems and that lets you build this new kind of analytic and processing app, it's a pretty big deal. And we watched our customers roll that out and came up with the concept as a result.
That's marketing 101. Listen to your customers and come up with something that solves their problems. And I tell you, that's an important thing to know. David Linthicum writes for InfoWorld. He sat in that chair a couple months, 2 months ago, and I was reading his blog post this morning. And here's a quote. Here's a pull quote from his little article. He said that those who deploy cloud-based systems run into performance problems. Now, that's true in Texas. It's true in Washington, D.C. It's true in Chandigarh, India. And I think that's what my listeners should know is that, you know, there are agencies out there that have to collect a lot of information, geospatial analysis, cybersecurity, bioinformatics, we just talked about, and inevitably going to run into problems. And I think what they should do is that, okay, Cloudera.com, go there, read a couple white papers, maybe talk to them. Maybe it's a tool that can help.
Yeah, you know, I think that's right. Look, cloud is not magic pixie dust that makes things go better. We have customers who deploy our software on-premise on bare metal with no virtualization infrastructure. We've got customers who do use virtualization technologies like OpenStack and VMware, for example. We've got a number of customers who roll out on the public cloud, say Amazon Web Services or Microsoft Azure. Where people deploy the software ought to be decided by those users based on their business requirements. We can help make sure that those systems run well, scale well, deliver value on the data, and do that in a cost-effective way.
And I think that's the answer. I think my listeners are very savvy. What they have to understand is that, well, here's a tool for this. Here's Amazon Kinesis. Maybe I can use it for that. Here's a new type of virtualization. What about Red Hat virtualization? Where's this in the picture? What about Citrix? How's that? And I think people should listen to this interview to get a better idea what Cloudera is all about and how it works with large data. And what we're going to do is take a little break here in a couple minutes and find out maybe where Cloudera doesn't fit. And I think we ought to be honest with it. Maybe there's some places where it just doesn't fit.
You know, I think that's right. Look, the reason that we have an enterprise data hub and not an enterprise data black hole is there are important systems that complement what we do. But, you know, I think it's important to note, relevant to the points you made about all of these new technologies emerging, there is a real explosion of innovation in enterprise software right now. Different systems for standing up and running your data center, different data management technology. We talked about NoSQL databases. We're talking about Hadoop and this enterprise data hub. It has not been this interesting in IT in my career. This is the most exciting time that I've seen. And I'm really pleased that we get to participate in this explosion of new capabilities. I talked about attacking cancer. I talked about some of these other. Data matters fundamentally. We need to feed more people. We need to generate clean energy. We need to produce and distribute clean water. We need to watch for bad guys. We need to look for fraudulent activity in transaction flows. Data allows us to do this, and new technologies, Hadoop in particular, make those kinds of analyses possible.
And I tell you the truth, you hit the nail on the head. I mean, I just wrote a blog post about Amazon Kinesis, the next blog post about Docker, and now I'm writing about software-defined networks. Well, it's just like, hold it, stop it. I want to take a break and come back and try to understand this technology and see, okay, so now I know what Docker is. Okay, now I understand. Now, where can I use it? I mean, it's just, there's so much coming out now. I mean, you're right. I mean, I don't know how you keep keep up with everything that's changing.
Well, look, the nice thing about the job title Chief Strategy Officer is no one's quite sure what you do for a living, so you can allocate your time how you like. And I spend a lot of my time, we spend a lot of our time at Cloudera surveying the landscape, figuring out really how we need to play and where we can play. And let's do come back. Let's do talk about some of the stuff that we're good at and maybe some of the stuff that we're not so good at and wouldn't be used for.
Be honest for the listeners. They'd love to hear that. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. We got to take a break. We come back, talk more about big data, Cloudera, and the federal government. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Talking today about big data, and we're asking bigger questions. We're asking bigger questions with a gentleman named Mike Olson. He's the board chairman and chief strategy officer of a company called Cloudera, Cloudera.com. I was there this morning. Very user-friendly site, all kinds of stuff. You can watch videos, you can download stuff, read blogs and everything else. So asking big questions, this is a new motto, huh?
Yeah, look, if
asking bigger questions.
If you've got more data available to you than ever before, it really stands to reason you ought to be able to get more insight, get more information from it. And the way we talk about that is the bigger data allows you to ask bigger questions than ever before. Not merely what transactions happened this week, but where might fraud be buried in my transaction flows? You know, we'd like to use the additional information to really step up the quality of insight that we deliver.
Ask the correct questions. Many of my listeners read blogs and get information from blogs. I have a blog called Tech Tuesday Blog. Is there a blog you write, or is there a blog you may recommend for my listeners to keep up with what's going on with Cloudera?
You know, we do two things at Cloudera. So the first is we've got a technical blog, and go to the website blog.cloudera.com. You'll get right there. In addition, and that'll give you, by the way, deep detail on all of the goofy project names and all of the platform stuff.
Tons and tons of stuff. I know I was there.
In addition to that, we've got the Vision blog, and that's vision.cloudera.com. And that explains what we think is happening in the market. What is data doing? What does all this data mean? And how are we seeing it used?
Maybe the chief strategy officer would have some input in the Vision blog, I would think.
Yeah, I'm not as good as you are at blogging regularly, but that is when I do it. That is my outlook, my outlet, rather. You know, I'm on Twitter as Mike Olson, but when I blog, it's always on the Vision blog at Cloudera.
Sometimes I write blogs about my students. I teach at Georgetown, and one of my students just got the Trapaio Award for Excellence over at Georgetown University just last week. And what I noticed at your website is that there's a Cloudera academic partnership as well, which I'm all excited about.
Yeah, a couple things I'd say about that. So first thing is, as your readers know, keeping up with all of this new technology is tricky. A lot of it is surprising different from what they've used before. So it's important for Cloudera to help educate folks about these new technologies. And we run an active training program, but not just commercially. We work very closely with universities around the world. We've got several dozen now in the Cloudera Academic Partnership. In fact, I'll follow up with you. I'd love to look for ways for us to get involved at Georgetown, but we've got curriculum, that is course material and lecture notes. We've got a whole bunch of software and examples and so on that folks can use to understand the technology. And again, just like the Vision blog, the strategic implications, what's happening with data, why does it matter? So that academic partnership, great for us because we want the next generation of leaders in the world to understand this stuff coming out of the university.
And I think that that's good because if you are projecting classes for next year and you're talking about 19th century France, well, it's not going to change much. But if you're trying to come up with a class in 6 months, well, well, guess what? All you can do is have a little blank space and say, to be announced, because I don't know what the technology is going to be like in 6 months, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a real challenge. And again, you know, because of what we do commercially, we've got an opportunity to invest in continual creation of that collateral. So while we shy away from sort of commercialization of that stuff, particularly in the academic regime, it's important for us to make it available broadly. We want the market steadily getting smarter. We want university students steadily getting smarter about these new technologies.
I got to get into the weeds a little bit and just do it real quick here. Hadoop 2.0 came out recently. So what's the buzz? I mean, what's the big deal? How's it different from Hadoop 1.0 or whatever it was?
So I will also try to avoid the weeds too much, but let me give you let me try to give you an accurate picture that's not too complicated. So when Google had this great idea I talked about earlier, store all kinds of data and process it, they invented that engine that I talked about called MapReduce. And that was really great, powerful, innovative technology. The problem was you had to be pretty much of a genius to make it work. You had to be a Java programmer. You had to put up with new complicated programming paradigms. So that impeded its adoption, right? It turns out there's a collection of problems in the world where you just want to type an SQL query. Sometimes walking up to an empty search box and typing some keywords to find data is useful. Sometimes you want to use really powerful new analytic techniques, stream processing, machine learning. Over the years, we, along with the open source community, but Cloudera has really been working hard on this, have driven those capabilities in real-time SQL, real-time search, good stream processing, good machine learning capabilities, right? As we have done that, we have built that enterprise data hub I talked about. All your data stored in one place. Lots of ways to get at it, so you don't have to pick it up and move it out in order to do that. Well, Hadoop 2.0 is really the realization of that vision by the open source community. If you're going to have all those engines, if you're going to have lots of people getting at your data, you need to control who gets at it when you want to be sure that you've got security, but also resource management, right? We're sharing a whole bunch of computers. Who gets to run at which times? Who can access which data at which time? And so those capabilities are built into this new release of the fundamental open source project and make it possible to build way more interesting applications than ever before.
Yeah, the word dynamically allocate resources. What? For applications? What? For storage? What? For computation? What? For transmission of data? I mean, you know, I think universities should teach a master's degree in dynamically allocating resources under a wide range of aspects, isn't it? I mean, it's just amazing.
Yeah, you know, and it's getting more important as time goes by. As I described, you want to be able to work with your data. You want to be able to ask those big questions in the way that makes most sense for the problem you're trying to solve. So we'll keep inventing and releasing these engines, and then we're going to need technology that controls who gets to use how much memory, how much processor, and so on. The technical user base in your audience may have heard of a project called YARN, Yet Another Resource Negotiator. That's a key piece of the Hadoop 2.0 ecosystem that lets all of this stuff work together. And we've been working very hard to make that enterprise grade, scalable, reliable, and so on.
Earlier in the show, we talked about the early 1990s. Back in the early 90s, I was on the internet sending email, and I used Elm. And then it was replaced by something called Pine. Pine is not Elm. And reminds me of this YARN thing, doesn't it? I mean, Pine is not Elm. I mean, this takes it back to like the Ben Franklin era of sending out email.
You know, there's a funny story about the name Hadoop. People may be wondering where that came from. Honest truth is, the small child of the project creator, a guy named Doug Cutting, created the Hadoop project. His son had a stuffed yellow elephant named Hadoop, and the project was named after that elephant because Doug thought it was a great name. Hadoop is spelled H-A-D-O-O-P, and an enterprising blogger in the ecosystem decided on his own that Hadoop must stand for the Highly Available Distributed Object-Oriented Processing System, which was a pretty good guess, but entirely wrong.
Obviously not a father. It's amazing when kids are that young, they give nicknames for things, and they last the rest of their lives. You know, I went to Twitter this morning, typed in @Cloudera, and found all kinds of interesting tweets. One tweet was a relationship that you're developing with Intel. So we have hardware, software. I mean, why this little pairing?
Well, look, Intel is a tremendous brand, an important partner, and now, in fact, a large strategic investor in Cloudera. Intel is interested in the evolution of the hardware market, of course. In fact, they're driving it, right? They're really a force in the ecosystem. In the data center, they have 94% market share, right? They deliver the servers that allow us to build these big data platforms. And of course, they're excited about the growth that big data may drive there. More interestingly, though, your listeners will have heard of a concept, the Internet of Things. We are seeing a proliferation of devices in the environment that are connected to networks, that have sensors on them, that are measuring the world, and that give us data that we can analyze in new ways. Sensors for temperature, sensors for pressure, sensors for salinity in the ocean, and so on, generating data that we'll use to make the world a better place. The Internet of Things is very much in Intel's wheelhouse, and the big data they generate is very much in Cloudera's.
So the strategy might be to develop hardware that can be optimized for this dynamic configuration of systems.
And to be sure that the software takes advantage of that hardware. So the partnership is very important to us.
Yeah, that's tricky. So we have one company that's data center software, one company that's data center hardware. I guess that's the parallel there, huh?
Exactly.
Let's take a break, come back in a couple minutes. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. In the studio today, we have Mike Olson, Board Chairman and Chief Strategy Officer for Cloudera. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Mike Olson, Board Chairman and Chief Strategy Officer of Cloudera, Cloudera. A lot of similarities between Linux and Red Hat, Hadoop and Cloudera. We've gone through that during the first few batches of information. I talked about Twitter. My Twitter handle is at Ray Gilroy. I guess your company has a Twitter handle as well, very active there.
Yeah, at Cloudera is the company handle, and mine is at Mike Olson, M-I-K-E-O-L-S-O-N.
It's O-L-S-O-N. There's an O in there. That's the fooler. Everyone who sits in that chair, including Vivek Kundra and Todd Park and all the big dogs in town here, have to take my 10-question test because people are listening going, well, I don't know if he's really a nerd or not. Well, what kind of phone does he have? Or does he actually use paper? Or does he use his smartphone to take notes? And so I'm asking 10 questions real quick, Mike. And we're going to figure out if you're a card-carrying nerd or not. Okay.
All righty.
So I break into your house tonight. And how many physical desktop machines do I find in your house?
Ooh, physical desktop machines. I've got five of those.
Five. Cinco. Okay. And how many cell phones have you purchased in the last year?
I have purchased three cell phones in the last
year. Three?
Yes.
And do you have your own personal Twitter feed? Yes.
I do.
Do you have a personal blog?
I do not.
And do you use any online personal backup services?
I do.
Okay. What kind of smartphone do you have?
iPhone 5.
And what's the most popular app that you used in the last 30 days on that thing?
Ooh, most popular app. Probably the Facebook app, I'm embarrassed to say.
Very embarrassing. So we break into your house again tonight, and how many tablet devices do we find?
Three.
Three, okay. And social networking sites you're active in?
Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, those are my big ones.
Good. And last book you read, was it paper or electronic?
Pretty much the only books I read are paper, I'm embarrassed to say.
Wow. Me too, but I don't admit it either. Yeah, I'm a big fan of paper. Because you put your thumb in it and you walk downstairs and get something to eat. I mean,
you're allowed to spill coffee on them and they travel pretty easy.
Yeah, they travel pretty easily. You know, traveling data is a big problem in this town. There's stuff that has to be moved back and forth. And I think that's what your company's trying to address is managing this big data and coming up with a framework for it. We talked about the new Hadoop that came out. Tell me about some of the new things you see in the horizon here in the next 4 or 5 years that maybe there's some services or some products or programs that Cloudera has that may fit in the wheel well of some of my listeners in the federal government.
Yeah, let me talk about what I think is going to be one of the most interesting developments over the coming couple of years. And a number of your users are going to see this unfolding in their organizations already. I've talked at some length about data, any kind you like, any volume you want. All of a sudden, we can keep stuff we used to have to throw away. So we can store way more data. The planet is generating way more data than ever before. And that's great. But if all we're doing with it is storing it, that's not very interesting. We need new tools for processing and analyzing it. One of the really promising new techniques for analyzing data is a technique called machine learning. It sounds maybe even a little bit spooky to some of your listeners. It's not HAL in 2001, A Space Odyssey. This is a technique for discovering correlation and making predictions about what future data might be, based on the patterns observed in historical data. It's a really powerful technique that we really haven't been able to do before because we haven't been able to get enough data. And frankly, because we didn't have enough horsepower, enough computation yoked together. That's different today. This technology has moved out of the science fiction university research lab domain and into traditional enterprises. When you shop online, you see surprisingly good advertisements targeted at you. That's machine learning. When you buy products and have recommended other products for you, that is machine learning. And you're going to see this technique proliferate. We see it in fraud and anti-money laundering use cases in financial services, in retail customer engagement. We see it proliferating across all of the verticals in which we do marketing. And it's going to make that data valuable.
Speaking of data, there are some people who are sitting saying, well, is Hadoop, who's it compete with? Or does it want to go in a data warehouse and just rip out existing systems? Or does it complement existing systems? Does it run alongside it or rip and replay? Or where does Hadoop feed for my listeners? They, you know, is it something special, something different, or run alongside?
We talk about an enterprise data hub, and that hub is important. It's got to have spokes that connect it to other things in the data center. And those other things are the existing products and platforms that our customers use. So absolutely, there are data warehouses, document management systems, online databases. All of those run important applications for customers. I draw this analogy, though. When the internet first emerged, it wasn't taken very seriously by, for example, the television and music industries. And in fact, it really did transform those industries. Stuff that used to happen one way could now happen a new way. Rather than distributing records, you could download songs. That didn't suck value out of the music industry. It's a more valuable industry than ever before. I think that Hadoop will do something similar. The work you may do in a data warehouse will change. But and by the way, some of that work may well move into Hadoop. But if we are right, if thousands of times more data is going to be generated in the world, it will be important to have the right tool for the job to deal with that flood of data. Hadoop is fantastic new capability that allows you to do some old stuff faster, cheaper, better. But really what it's doing is complementing the existing systems that our customers run, giving them new tools for working with that data.
I like new tools. I argue with software developers all the time, and they always throw out this use case. Well, use case for this, use case for that. And I understand the origin of that phrase. What I found at your website is there is an analysis from Tech America Foundation called the Big Data Commission, and it gives use cases for big data in the federal government. And so if you're listening, you go, well, I don't know how does this help me at Department of Interior? How does this help me at Commerce? How does this help me at NIH? Well, we know it's going to help at NIH, but it's interesting how, what about fraud? I mean, the Department of State uses big data to analyze fraud. I mean, who would have thought of it? But there's an application right there.
Yeah, well, you know, let me talk about some of the examples we see. So we talked about the National Cancer Institute a little while ago. We talked about healthcare. We think those are very valuable use cases. The USA.gov website, which provides website search services for most now of the federal government, is backed by a Cloudera platform. So it's catching data from all those systems, indexing it, by the way, in much the way that Google did. Data at that scale, indexed in those ways, very important. As we retool the regulatory regime in financial services, and as we put new controls in place by organizations like SEC and others, big data platforms and Cloudera in particular play a role. So the amount of data that we've got is exploding. The things we need to do with that data in order to run the country and run the economy well, those are also evolving. And this very powerful, very flexible platform gives us a great tool for building those apps.
A phrase that I use all the time is lessons learned, lessons learned. I think what's interesting about Cloudera is that they've been involved intensely in the commercial world, and they've made mistakes, changed, moved, maybe listened to customers and adapted the Enterprise Data Hub earlier. I imagine there would be lessons from the commercial world that can be applied directly to the federal government. I mean, I don't see why not.
Well, indeed. And let me say, by the way, that information flows in both directions, right? Federal use cases that we've engaged in have helped us understand what we might do better in the commercial sector as well. You know, one of the things that we've found most valuable from 6 years in the market working with customers across commercial, government, even sort of NGO, nonprofit, has been which use cases, which problems are well suited to this new platform and which aren't. If you're running a network of automatic teller machines, you're a bank processing transactions at that scale, you've got fantastic tools today for handling that problem. Hadoop wasn't built to attack that. That wasn't what Google wanted to do way back in the day, right? Google needed new analytic and processing capabilities and deployed those complementary to a bunch of what it had done before. So when we talk to customers and they get excited about big data, one of the important jobs we've got is to recognize which problems make sense to move into this platform and which problems belong exactly where they are.
When it comes to machine learning, is that what the Apache Spark is all about? Is that what machine learning is? We talked about earlier.
Yeah, the Spark project is a great, great engine for implementing those machine learning algorithms. And your users who want to know more should go to the Cloudera blog. We got a lot of great stuff on Spark there.
And another place to go, again, I'll pitch it again, is the Tech America Foundation. They have Big Data Commission. So if you're listening to this interview and there's snow on the ground and you're wondering, well, I don't know where this fits in with my agency, you might want to get some use cases and see where it fits in with bioinformatics, with fraud detection, with the Department of State. And they used it for visa and awarding visas and giving out visas. We didn't even talk about geospatial analysis, the amount of information that's coming in from the Internet of Things, all kinds of information. We're running out of time here, Mike. We'll have to have you come back and talk more about some of these strange terms like pig Latin and zookeeper and hive, but that's for another day. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. In the studio today, we have Mike Olson, Board Chairman and Chief Strategy Officer for Cloudera.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Electromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 9, only on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.